On this edition of The Right Stuff, we'll be talking to my favorite author, Travis Perry, and his newest work, Mythic Orbits Number 2. That's coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff.
You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Poconos, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J. Let me tell you, I am so happy today is today. Guess what? Because I just wrote a Christmas short story called Wish Upon a Strawberry Shortcake. The idea came to me a couple of weeks ago. I had sequestered myself in a hotel room so I could get some writing done because sometimes you need to be away from everything. So that's what I did. I sequestered myself in a hotel room, and I got to writing that whole weekend. And as I was writing, all of a sudden, this idea, which I came from another author by the name of Jeanette Hanscom, came to me. And so I got to thinking, and I ended up writing that story in about 14 hours last week, and I published it a couple of days ago, on November 23rd, I published it. It's called Wish Upon a Strawberry Shortcake. I'm really excited about this story because it really takes the essence of happiness, dreams, wishmakers, and puts it all together in what I think is a very fun story. And for those of you who are listening, if you want a copy of Wish Upon a Strawberry Shortcake, it's available for just 99 cents. I wanted to make it available just so you can have a quick, short read for those of you getting ready for Christmas and Hallmark movies. I like to think that this can challenge a Hallmark movie, but who knows? I hope you enjoy it. I've been getting some great responses on it so far. So go ahead and pick up your copy of my Christmas short story, Wish Upon a Strawberry Shortcake. We are talking today to my wonderful good friend, Travis Perry. As most of you know, I am a Travis Perry fan. He is the owner of Bear Publications, as well as a prolific author himself, and he created some of the greatest anthologies to come out of literature, which is Medieval Mars and Victorian Venus. But today we're going to be talking about Mythic Orbits and what that's all about. So tune in. For those of you listening, tune in. This is pre-recorded, so I won't be taking any live questions or comments, but go ahead and gather your friends and fam, and you can listen in by dialing the number 646-668-8485, or just simply click on the link in the show description, download Stitcher on your mobile device, or follow us on iTunes. So many ways to connect with us. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guests on The Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for a new reader to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com. or order a print issue on magcloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has three packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so glad you are joining me today for this edition of the show. I'm talking to my main man, Travis Perry. He is the owner of Bear Publications, as well as bringing you great anthology work, particularly mostly important of all, is Medieval Mars as well as Victorian Venus. But today we're going to be talking about his newest anthology, Mythic Orbits 2. And so without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest co-host, Travis Perry. Travis, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for all the nice things you say about me. I totally appreciate it. And as you noted in the past, I don't quite get it, but hey, that's great. I'm so blessed. What I mean by say don't quite get it is I don't know. I guess I have an inner critic. I mean, a lot of people do that goes, you know, I mean, that was okay, but you could have done better. You know what I'm saying? That inner critic. Mm-hmm. So I'm just thrilled to have a super fan. It's great. I mean, anyway, but a little bit surprised too. But I'm very fortunate that you are so thrilled about my work and everything and glad that you're talking to me today.
I am so glad that you took time out of your schedule to be with us, too. One thing I always enjoy when I have you on the show, I love your insights. I love the way you view the world. I love the way you dissect it. I love the way you bring it all together again. You're just that great capacity to bring big things and make them into concrete ideas. As you know, I was a huge fan of your series that Speculative Faith had hosted, which was Aliens, the aliens, how aliens point us to God. You know, I was a huge fan of that. And then now I'm a huge fan of your war series that you and Travis Chapman are doing, also hosted by Speculative Faith. And so I'm just really happy that you are using this thing that God gave you to help us all become better writers. So many of us want to be writers and write stories, but I think it takes a special person to help us write stories better. Maybe we're not always pulling out the big novels, but we're making sure that we give our writers information to write stories better. And I know for a fact, Travis, I would love to get your thoughts about that. I know for a fact that your Speculative Fiction Guide to Writing About War, I know that's been well received. What has been some of the comments that you've gotten for those who have logged on to speculativefaith.com?
Oh, I mean, I've had comments, people, some of the comments that that maybe I don't expect is when people bring up examples from stories that I haven't read. I wish I could think of a good example off the top of my head of somebody doing that. But there are, you know, and I've got some good examples from other people that have served in the military, you know, talking about some of the things that I write about. So it's, yeah, I've got good feedback on the war series. And just to say what that is for your listeners, you know, what I'm trying to do is do a guide for speculative fiction writers on war and writing war based on some of my experiences and things I've studied, along with my companion, Travis Chapman, who I actually met through a comment that he made on one of the posts I made on Speculative Faith. And he teaches at the U.S. Naval Academy. He's actually and teaches he's a smart guy. He teaches math and nuclear engineering is what he teaches. But but he's had, you know, wartime deployment experience and really bright guy, clever guy. And so really great to work with him. He, you know, brings perspectives of things that I wouldn't. And that's exactly what, you know, God, when you have something that's given to you by God, like this kind of working relationship, you know, not any one of us is able to do everything. So you run into other people in the world that have these talents and abilities that you don't have, and you work together, you know, that's a God thing. And I found that with Travis Chapman and many of these other writing projects that I've done with other people too.
I know we're going to be talking about Mythic Orbits, but I want to kind of simmer on war really quickly, because one of the most poignant posts that you put in that series was on killing, and you talked about the psychological effects of people who kill and why people kill, how likely are you to kill if you're closer to the person that you're attacking as opposed to being further away, all these various dynamics involved with that. And when you were on our veteran special show, which I want to thank you for joining us on that one, you made the point, or rather, Peter Younghusband had made the point that it's unnatural for people to actually,
right.
War is actually unnatural. And yet we still have to deal with it, because if we didn't, certain freedoms that we experience, certain things that we deal with, would not be resolved through the avenue of war. War is obviously a nuclear, or rather the last resort, not often the
right.
first resort. And so talk about that, how looking at the person in front of you is different than looking at a target 400 miles away.
Yeah, the you know, speaking from the perspective of a Christian author, mm-hmm. which I am, of course, is that God made us for the garden, you know, where in human beings were not intended to kill each other. That's something we learned too later. And how it practically works, the way that we feel empathy for one another is usually in facial expressions. So the worst thing in killing somebody, and this is not just from a Christian perspective, but it's also been found in some psychological studies, is to see their face when you kill them. It's the reason behind certain things like why is it that firing squads, you know, covered the eyes at least, or the face of the person they're shooting at, is to make, you know, to cover that part. And in particular, you know, killing somebody, the most intimate form of killing somebody is to stab somebody. And it explains certain kinds of things. Why is it that when people fought in times past, they had an awful lot of smashing or swinging weapons, when a lot of times stabbing somebody is the most efficient way to kill somebody? Now, somebody had to be trained to stab people. This is something the Romans did. They trained people and drilled them in just, you know, making this particular move to stab. But that's, you know, not natural or easy, even for people who are fighting with swords, you know, hand to hand. It's not necessarily the first thing that you think of, because it's kind of hard on the mind, or at least that is what I've read in various pieces of literature, including books by Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman on combat and on killing, which in me makes a lot of sense. It makes certain things that have happened in history make sense. And so when you bring these things into writing stories, you know, people ought, who are fighting in combat, if they're far removed from who they're shooting at, they don't see them, they don't ever see the after effects. You know, killing can be relatively easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pulling the trigger. If you're the guy in the funny helmet on the Death Star and you flip the switch and Alderaan is just this blue sphere, I mean, unless you have a really good imagination, you don't see anything. It doesn't seem like much. But
mm-hmm.
Star Wars had a stormtrooper, you know, see somebody killed in person, and then he had a reaction to that. And that's actually an interesting aspect of The Force Awakens. Now, why is this one guy, you know, affected and everybody else isn't? It's a good question. But anyway, this one particular character is affected because he sees it in person. And that's a kind of a realistic aspect that story brought out. So is that answering your question? I hope it is.
It does answer the question, Travis. And it brings to mind why we're talking about this, is because, you know, right now during the holidays, there are people who are dealing with a lot of grief right now. They're dealing with grief. They're dealing with anger, a lot of stuff. The holidays isn't always so happy for some people, you know. Some
right.
people spiritually have experienced that, and we're not aware of it because we're not cognizant of that. And so I kind of want you to talk about that, because in our spiritual life, we do have to be on guard, you know, and we do have to care for our others, that even though some of us may be quote-unquote killed by that happen in life, at the end of the day, the Lord can resurrect us from the dead. So that's kind of like what I wanted you to bring out there. And that, it's one of the reasons why I just love talking with you, because you have such great insight into the things of life. And I'm so glad you're here with me. And so one thing that I've noticed about your ability is that you take these two disparate ideas and you bring them together, like medieval Mars, like Victorian Venus. Now we got to talk about mythic orbits. We talked about it last year, and for those of you who follow me, simply go to pjcmedia.net. You can search through the archives and see the first mythic orbits. But this is mythic orbits too, and you brought together a great cast of authors to bring us great stories. But someone may be listening, mythic orbits too. What about Mythic Orbits 1? What do you talk about Mythic Orbits? Go ahead and just refresh our memory about Mythic Orbits.
Yeah, I was, if I can say something about myself as a person, I mean, I started out as an author, and just to summarize this a little bit, and I found out working with other authors that I also have some ability to edit and to notice good stories. And I found this first in a project called Avenir Eclectia, which I was working with Grace Bridges, where I really saw that, you know, that I have ability to edit. And then, you know, I wound up publishing on my own. And so I created Medieval Mars, in which I had a theme of stories, and I wrote a story, and then I encourage other people to write stories in a particular universe that I created. But I, you know, it occurred to me, when you write a theme, sometimes you don't always get a writer's very best. Now, I used to read anthologies when I was younger about the world's best science fiction of a particular year. And it was written, there's a couple different versions of this. One was by Terry Carr, but they used to edit, and you know, from they go look from the best science fiction magazines and pick the best short stories, and they made an anthology. And it was just based on what the editor considered to be the best. And I love those anthologies. And I only read them for a relatively short time. But then I thought, it wouldn't be great if I did something like that for the Christian writers that I know that are writing speculative fiction. And then I, instead of calling on them to write according to a theme, like I did with Medieval Mars or Victorian Venus, or with other magazines or anthology projects too, how about I just try to find the very best fiction I can from them? So I did this first in 2016, and the name of the book is the first volume. It isn't called Mythic Orbis 1. It's called Mythic Orbits 2016. And it contains 13 stories that are the very best stories I was able to find at that point from various authors I knew, people I asked, trying to get hold of, you know, stories. And then, so what I did is with Mythic Orbits 2 is I repeated the process. And the thing that that kind of surprised me a little bit about Mythic Orbits 2 is that it wound up being a different book. And we're going to talk about it more, but it winds up being different in certain ways than Mythic Orbits 2016, even though I didn't so much set out to do that. Still, my goal was to look for the best stories I could. But anyway, I hope, does that answer the question good enough? I hope it does.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I want our listeners to know that, and I apologize for saying the word wrong, I automatically thought Mythic Orbits 1. That's how I think of it, you know.
So, yeah.
Appreciate you correcting that for me. I've always said on the show, you can always correct me. I am one of those people who are open to correction. So I'm really thankful that you're here with us talking about Mythic Orbits, and I can't wait to delve into this anthology. So for those of you listening in, just hang on, and we'll be back in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Hi. Is your book club in need of some fresh and exciting questions to ask club members and authors at your next book club meeting? Literizations, the book conversation game, is 70 thought-provoking questions to really get into an in-depth discussion about the books you and your club members are reading. These questions really get into the characters, the storyline, and into the author's head. These questions may just give you and your book club members a whole new way to get into a new conversation, a literization. Literizations is also a great set of tools for bloggers, interviewers, and authors to use as discussion questions. Are you ready to get lit? Please visit our website at litversations.com, LITVERSATION.com. And please like our Facebook page at Simply Said Reading Accessories. Thank you.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5, where I showcase Christian authors worldwide. I have been basking in that for the last 5 years, I have been showcasing Christian authors, from traditionally published authors to indie authors. And guess what? The Lord allows I'll continue to do that. And with me is prolific author himself, is Travis Perry. He is the owner of Bear Publications, as well as the compiler of the anthology Medieval Mars, as well as Victorian Venus. And now we're talking about his anthology, Mythic Orbits Number 2, Mythic Orbits 2016, released in 2016. And for those of you who follow me, simply go to pjcmedia.net to hear that interview. And what I really like about doing this, Travis, is the ability to watch you grow, to watch your publishing company grow. And so as you were selecting these authors to be part of this anthology, what were you looking for? Because I am sure that there are listeners out there who say, you know what, I can be part of that anthology that Travis is putting together. So what were you looking for as a publisher?
Well, what I wanted, first of all, was to know that the author is a professing Christian, because I said this is the best by Christian authors. Now, I'm not super picky about what sort of Christian somebody is. I mean, I'm not doing a, you know, answer these, you know, these 12 doctrinal points, you know, kind of thing,
right,
to prove to me you're sufficiently Christian. You know, but just that you're a professing Christian. And I contacted people I knew. But one of the things as opposed to 2016 is I wanted to pick different set of authors and different set of stories. But I did repeat a few. Some of the authors that I had last time, actually, I think only two were repeats, and the rest were all new authors. But I'm just looking, you know, so somebody's saying, well, what would Travis want? I actually want short stories that have that when you read it, you go, wow, this is the best story I've written. That's actually what I'm looking for. And it's obviously got to be speculative. I have had people send me really nice stories that weren't speculative, you know, that were about real events or something, which that's great, but we're talking about fantasy or science fiction or something like that. I've published some stories that have, they're kind of, I guess you call it light horror. I published a story this year that was, I guess the right term for it is lit RPG, which is based inside a video game by Sydney Coop. So these kind of stories, I'm really open to a lot of genres, a lot of things. And it's like I will know if I want to publish it or not. And that may sound strange, but the mix I've used is eclectic. There's quite a few, you know, different types of stories, but I do feel that they go together anyway. So what I would say to somebody, if they're interested in sending me a story, if you think it's a really good story, don't send me a story that you think is second rate yourself. Send me a story you think is really good, and I'll take a look at it, and I'll let you know if I agree with you. And that's basically it. That sounds so simple, but that's what I'm looking for.
What's really unique about you being a publisher like you are, you really have that control over what goes into the book. But you've also worked with the authors that have sent their work to you as well. Tell us about that process of working with the authors, because even though they send you their very best and you like it, you still have to trim it down and do some editing of that book. Go ahead and tell us about that process.
Yeah, I mean, I've had different degrees of these stories. Some of the stories that I receive, pretty much like them exactly as they are. Maybe, you know, I find a couple typos or something like that. But other stories, I had significant input into making the story. The featured story for this one, which is called Mark the Days by Kat Heckenbach, I actually asked Kat if she could write a story for me because I have great confidence in her as a writer. And there were several points along the way as she's producing the story that I gave, that, you know, she gave me several different versions. And I said, no, I don't like how that one ends. Or, you know, no, I want more aspect of this. And in the end, you know, she didn't do exactly what I said. We came to an agreement because what her artistic self wanted to go was not exactly the direction I wanted to go. And but I knew that that was the time for me. I mean, it's, you know, whatever it is that God puts in the people that, you know, things, you know, I knew that it's time to let her go where she wanted to go. And we wound up with a really great story. And some of the other stories that I have, I did some pretty significant editing on because a couple of the writers are relatively new writers and haven't written for an anthology like that. But I saw in them, I felt, a nugget of really good idea, a really great story that could be really great. It just needed a little fixing, some changing. And, you know, I think I do a variety of different kinds of fixing, but the things that I mostly am interested in, I'm not so much a grammar Nazi as I'm interested in consistency in stories, and does the story make sense? Does it put together, you know, are the characters really acting the way they should act? Character consistency. These are the kinds of things I'll come back to writers about. I could comment more about that, but do you want me to keep going on the subject or?
Thing I was going to ask you regarding the different stories in there, you mentioned that you used a couple of newer authors who were in the book, and this is significant for me because sometimes authors are so nervous to put themselves out there that they won't take that leap, and they'll let the story, their very best story that they have, be unseen. And so here you have this anthology where I think it's better for a new author to consider putting their piece in an anthology because you're not alone. It's not as if it's just your baby. As a matter of fact, it's a family of authors who are presenting their children to the outside world, and that can help mitigate any nervousness that a new author may have. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think there's some great things about an anthology. And one of the things, too, I mean, if you're a self-published kind of person, an indie story writer, and you have just a short story, I mean, where are you going to put it other than an anthology? Yes, you can release it individually. That's true. But one of the things that I am doing is putting it with other stories and working with you to try to make your story as best as it can be. And I guess I must say that even though I'm very aware of my own flaws as a writer and as a person, I do feel like I am really helping these stories and making them better. So let me mention one of these names, you know, Keturah Lamb, who I met at a Realmakers conference. She's a young writer, lives in Montana, but she had a whole set of stories she showed me, and I looked through her stories, and I picked the one that I thought was the best. But she is obviously somebody with a lot of talent. She's produced a lot of stories, but she's also quite, and from my point of view, inexperienced. She hasn't had a lot of editing and a lot of experience really developing stories. I think someday she very well may be a great writer. You know, in 10 years we might all be saying the name Keturah Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that I have helped her move along the direction, in developing her writing and thinking about how that writing needs to be to appeal to an audience, to make sense, to be consistent, these kinds of things. So she's a person I would use as an example. And there are a couple others that I picked that had very limited publishing experience. But then I also picked authors who've written many stories, who have quite a lot of publishing experience and are seasoned hands. So I'm trying to do, I guess you could say, I'm trying to look at the future of Christian writers that I know and try to help them develop. But I'm also thinking about writers that are already developed, and I want to present the reader with, you know, if you want to look at some of these stories by these writers and you think, well, gosh, do they publish anything else? There's a number of these writers that do have other stories, other collections, other novels, and they're worth looking up and finding their writing. If you like their story, you know, go find their writing. So I hope this anthology can be like a guideline to people interested in Christian writers of speculative fiction. Who do I like? Well, read the anthology, take a look at the story, and if you like that author, go find them elsewhere, because most of them, many of them, not most of them, but, you know, roughly it's about half of them have significant writings outside of the anthology itself.
I like the fact that the stories are all different and eclectic because it matches your own personality. And you've said it before, you have a lot of different interests, and those interests are reflected in different ways. And so when a reader picks up this story, if you were to categorize the stories, how would you categorize them all? Would some of them be sci-fi, light horror, as you said, fantasy? How would you categorize most of the stories that the readers are going to get in this book?
Well, I mean, it's most of it's, if I try to put it by genre, there's some science fiction, there's some fantasy. I have two stories that are set in this Mythic Orbits, and I did not have in 2016, that are in different ways set within the world of a video game. One is Cindy Coop's story is from the point of view of a video game programmer who's created a game, and she gets into the game and personally is involved with the game for some of the things that are happening in it. But it goes through, you know, the type of literature she's advancing in levels from completing quests, this kind of thing. And William Bontrager, in his book, his story, They Stood Still, he talks about a perspective of a video gamer who finds himself brought into a real world that has aspects that seem like it's a game to him at first, but really isn't. And that,
mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I've found that's different that binds these stories together in a way that the last ones didn't. You're right. Well, you know me well. I really do have eclectic interests. I like a lot of different things. And one of the things that I found in last year's 2016, one of the things I like is twist endings. I like twist endings to short stories. Not everybody does. A lot of the short stories in 2016, Mythic Orbis 2016, have twist endings. But I like short stories that don't have twist endings, too. And this year's, not that I deliberately set out to pick different kinds of endings, but the endings aren't quite as much based on twists this time. They flow more naturally from the story. I'm not saying I don't have any twist endings in this, but it's not quite as much that way. It is a little different. And it all is a little more, it's a little more gentle. I had a couple of the stories that were a little bit jarring in the last collection, the way they ended. And I don't mind that, because I think that can be a great thing about a short story. You can end a short story with an abruptness that you couldn't get away with in a novel, because when you're fully invested in a character and reading all the way through, you know, you just can't just abruptly, sharply end the story in a way that kind of shocks the reader. That's rarely done with novels. Short stories can do it. But these stories invest you in characters, the ones in Mythic Orbits too, in characters, and then give them kind of nice endings, mostly. Not always. So I don't want to overstate my case, but there's quite a lot of nice endings, gentle endings to these stories, more than the last collection, if that makes sense.
It does. I was thinking that when you said the twist ending, I started thinking of The Outer Limits, because in The Outer Limits, particularly the 1995 Outer Limits, a lot of those episodes always had a twist ending, and it jarred you. It's like, oh, it's going to end this way. Oh, gosh, they're dead. It's kind of like one
right.
of those things.
Right.
And that can
That's
that,
one of the fun things about short stories.
Yeah.
I mean, short stories can do that, and it's so fun. Because a regular story won't. I mean, rarely. You know, if you get a story like Walking Dead or something, they do it. I mean, they regularly kill off characters. But it's a different dynamic, because you can not only can you kill off a character, you can totally change the entire story world. You thought you were in one kind of story, but oh, you're not in that kind of story. You're in another kind of story. You know, I mean, I think the classic example, I don't remember if it was a Twilight Zone or an Outer Limits, but, you know, it was To Serve Man. And these aliens came and they had this book. Oh, it was Outer Limits, To Serve Man. They had this great, you know, this book, To Serve Man. They go, what does this book mean? And then they say at the last minute, To Serve Man, it's a cookbook.
You know? It's a cookbook.
It's a cookbook. You know, and I think those kind of endings for some people seem cheesy, you know, that they become kind of cheesy because sometimes they're done badly. You know, so like M. Night Shyamalan, some of his movies have twist endings.
Gosh.
It really turned out good in The Sixth Sense. It was really good, you know. Wow, oh, wait, you know, the psychiatrist is actually dead. Wow, that's an amazing ending. At least that was my reaction, I think, of many other people. But then you get to Signs. What, the aliens are afraid? I mean, they can't handle water? Why are they invading Earth? They're full of water. That makes no sense, you know. So, you go, well, that was a great movie, but that made no sense. So the twist ending, it can happen that the twist endings are bad, or I think the twist endings in Mythic Orbits 2016 are good. I like them, obviously, because I published them. What I'm saying is there's less of that sense of twist ending in Mythic Orbits Volume 2. They just happen to turn out differently in that way. But one of the things I've noticed in all these stories, you know, in both Mythic Orbits 1 and 2, you know, how maybe do Christian authors, I don't know if it's because they're Christian authors, really. I mean, I could say that it is, but there's a lot of empathy in these stories, you know, for characters, for their suffering and hardship in different ways. And I really like one of the things that William Bontrager wrote in They Sit Still. He looks at his main character as a veteran of the war in Iraq, who's going through a lot of horrible post-traumatic stress issues. And William himself is a veteran of war in Iraq. He deals with that issue very, very well, very meaningfully, and you know, with a lot of heart and emotion. And it's just there's a lot of, you know, Linda Birkeland. Both of her stories are great, but the one that she wrote in Mythic Orbits Volume 2, Dragon Moon, is about a sister who, you know, loves her brother who's dying of cancer, and what she does to try to comfort him, and winds up having a speculative twist at the end. It's just a great story. Linda is a, you know, I think a wonderful author of short stories, and you know, I would hope to, I want to publish more of her short stories in the future, because she's one of the two authors that is both in Mythic Orbits 2016 and in this book, because she's such a fine writer. And does it, am I wandering now?
Anyway, not at all. Okay. One of the things that I liked about this is that there's such an eclectic group of authors, and some of these authors I know, like Steve Raza, C.W. Breyer, you know, Cindy Coop. A lot of those authors I know, I interact with them on Facebook, so it's so cool to see their work in here. And for those of you who are listening, I'm just going to read just a table of contents that you're going to get from Mythic Orbits. And if these don't titillate you, I don't know what else will. So make sure you go ahead and get your copy of Mythic Orbits today. The first story is called Living History. The second is Her Majesty's Guardian.
The first one's by Steve Raza. I should say the names.
I'm sorry. So Living History by Steve Raza. Her Majesty's Guardian by Donald S. Crankshaw. The third is Dragon Moon by Linda Birkeland. The fourth is The Other Edge by C.W. Breyer. The fifth is Seeking What's Lost by Cindy Coop. And for those of you who remember, she was on my show a few weeks ago. We talked about her book, Condemned Courier. Recalled from the Red Planet, and I have a love affair with the Red Planet, by the way, by C.O. Bonham. The Workshop at the End of the World by Kristen Johns. They Stood Still by William Bontrager. The Memory Dance by A.K. Meek. Unorella by Keturah Lamb. Mark the Days by Kat Heckenbach. And that's the feature story in Mythic Orbits. And one thing I wanted to do before, when we come back from the break, Travis, if you have time, go ahead and read just an excerpt from Mark the Days, if you can read that. If not, we'll read another excerpt from one of the other stories. But I definitely just want to give our listeners a feel for Mythic Orbits. And for those of you listening in, you are going to be just so happy to get your copy of Mythic Orbits, which is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break, and we'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5, talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, Travis Perry. He is the owner of Bear Publications, as well as the collator of Medieval Mars, Victorian Venus, and his newest release from Bear Publications, Mythic Orbit Number 2. And what's been so exciting about this collection of stories is that we have some new authors who may have not been seen before. We have some old authors who are bringing in some new content. And all in all, it's just a great story. And before the break, I mentioned to Travis that I want him to read just an excerpt from the feature story of the anthology, Mark the Day by Kat Heckenbach. I know I said her name wrong, but Kat Heckenbach. So go ahead, just read a quick excerpt from that. Can't wait for our listeners to just get their take on this one.
This, I should say up front, this story has a time travel aspect. Okay, so here's the goes, the expert. Over the next few weeks, it became a game for Denver, figuring out which days to live in which order, working to keep the details straight. Following conversations about things that had happened on the days he skipped, and silent smiles when he went back to those days, knowing what would be said about everything in the future. It was fun, if a bit maddening at times. More than once, Denver had to make notes to himself. And at one point, he pondered creating a flowchart to track everything. It kept him from not getting too confusing. He didn't jump far ahead, clustering the out-of-order days in groups no longer than a week. Then, one morning, he found himself staring at the calendar. Every day in May, except the 14th, was filled in. the first 3 weeks of June had been filled in as well. He flipped to July, wondering how much longer he should continue. At some point, the game would get old. At some point, he would likely want to start living day to day again. Maybe it was time to get a little wilder before giving this up. The page opened to July. Denver went straight to the 31st. The marker pushed away from the page, like a magnet being repelled by another. And that's it.
And that's an excerpt from Mark the Days by Kat Hagenbach, which is part of the Mythic Orbits Volume 2, given to you by Bear Publications and my good friend Travis Perry. Travis, one thing I've enjoyed about what you do for authors is giving them that platform. And so Bear Publications, you do the anthologies, but what else are you looking for as far as novelists? Because I know you just published another novel, another novel with, not Leanne, I know her name. I talk to her all the time.
Lily Rose Foreman. Is that you're
thank
about?
You. Thank you.
Okay.
Leanne is in my head for some reason.
Yeah.
But tell us about that.
Well, yeah. Actually, it's kind of interesting because I was judging a contest for Real Makers, their award, is it called the Realme? I don't remember what it's called. That's terrible. But anyway, I was one of the judges for a contest, and I was reading her entry, and I just thought, wow, what a tremendous story. You know, it could use maybe a few bits to improve it, to edit it. And so I asked for permission to publish the trilogy, the three books together, because I think they belong as one story. Lily Rose Foreman's books, Shatterworld, Circumnavigation of Shatterworld, and Pacifist War, which I'm published as a trilogy as A Shattered World. That's a great story. And I said, well, you know, if that's what I'm going to do, let's expand to looking at publishing novels in general. And I have a couple of novel projects actually in works right now. I have one from Cindy Coop. I have a couple others that I'm working through editing. And, you know, some recent events in my life have kind of put the editing process on hold. But it's hard to say what exactly I'm looking for. I'm looking for a type of story that you might not see published somewhere else. I do want to have some Christian values. It doesn't have to be preachy, but I'm not necessarily against stronger allegories. You know, I don't rule it out in advance. It has to be well done. You know, like it had to be something, you know, that isn't terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so vague, right? I'm not being very clear, but it's like, you know what's good when you see it. And
exactly.
I can give some specifics, I guess, about particular things. But I am interested. If the Bear Publications website does talk about submissions. So it's, you know, www, or you can get there with www.bearpublications.com, Bear Publications, one word, B-E-A-R, like the animal. And, you know, I've had people ask me, why is it used bear? I like that animal. That's one thing. I grew up in Montana and saw a couple bears when I was young. Kid made an impression on me. I like them, and I think of them as a symbol of independence too. And there's also some part of my mind goes, well, maybe that'll catch somebody's attention because it sounds like B-A-R-E, bear,
mm-hmm.
and somebody might wonder what it is and give it a second look that they wouldn't otherwise. Which is, I don't know if that's a good way of thinking or not, but that's part of why I picked that name. But anyway, so that's also. You know, so if someone wants to take a look at the website, actually we're in the middle, my wife and I, of refurbishing the website and doing some changes. So they're not completely finished yet, but I do encourage people to look at the website and to submit if they think they have a great story, a different sort of story that has Christian content or something about it that, you know, that has a definite spiritual aspect and speculative. I'd be interested in seeing it. So
that's the thing. I like how you say, you know, I can't really be specific, and that's because because you have an eclectic like of a lot of different things, and sometimes
right.
it's hard to hone that down. But you know, if you like it, as soon as you see it, some people are very specific. I like this. I like this. I like this. I know exactly what you mean. If I see it, I know I like it. So don't let the fact that your story may not be what Travis is looking for stop you. You never know. He may read and go, this has to be published by Bear. And for me, bears, I'm terrified of them. I'm definitely terrified of bears. I have this sick, strange paranoia that I'll get it by a bear one day. It'll be a bear in Detroit outside my door for some reason. And
right,
I'm like,
bear in Detroit.
This is obviously meant to happen because there's no way I would ever get near
That's
a bear.
Right.
One of my fans said, oh, Park, I would love for you to come out here. I said, okay, we can go camping. I'm thinking that'd be fun. She said, I said, well, I'm afraid of flies or something like that. She said, well, you have to be really worried about the bears. And I remember saying, we'll never meet.
Right.
We'll have to video chat for the rest of our lives because I'll never put myself in a situation where I can get bit or mauled by a bear. I never will. Unless, you know, like I said, if it showed up at my door, then it was time. This is how the Lord wants me to go out. We'll go out like that. We'll go out screaming, you know. That's what will happen. But one thing I would love to get your thoughts of is how have readers responded to Mythic Orbits? Because it's been such an eclectic number of stories in there. How have readers responded to that?
Well, I think the biggest problem that if you're an indie publisher or writer is getting attention, you know. And so it's one of the reasons I appreciate you having me on, and I hope that this book gets attention. Everybody that's read it, you know, that I know of anyway, has said good things about it. The reviews that I get are good, but I'm not getting nearly as many people reading it as this book really merits. You know, because just so many people go, Mythic Orbits, what's that? And they move on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see it at all because, you know, there's just so many different written works, so many things that are out there in the world to read, and people, you know, aren't necessarily sure what it's going to be like. But I've found that people who read it like it, and they really think it's a great collection of stories, and I think it is a great collection of stories. I feel very blessed to be able to find these great stories and great authors and put them together. And so, yeah, I think I just definitely would encourage your listeners to give it a try. It's only $2.99 on the Kindle version. It's not very expensive. It's not going to cost you an arm and leg to get this collection of stories. And that's a deliberate choice on my part. I think they're worth more than that, but I don't want anybody not to read the stories because they feel it costs too much money or something. So anyway.
And that's the good part about what we do here is that, you know, it's so hard to get visibility because of the monster that is Amazon. It's hard to get that visibility. And then thousands of books are published every day. But we're trying to tell you is if you're looking for a great collection of stories, a great collection of mythic orbits, and that's the whole point. I love the cover of this book because you show this spacesuit, and on the cover you see this dragon in space. Why not? We have Amish vampires in space. Why not dragons in space, you know? And I can't think of I can't help but think of Sharknado, that strange, strange phenomenon that has captured all of us. Well, not me. I refuse to watch Sharknado. I can't. I can only dispense belief for so long until it gets weird for me. So I'm not a Sharknado fan. My older sister's a Sharknado fan, but not me. But that's why I want you to go ahead and get your copy of that.
Yeah, I think maybe the fact that it is so eclectic might hurt me a little bit because somebody might think I am doing some kind of Sharknado or dragon astronaut thing. But what mm-hmm. I'm just trying to suggest with the cover is that it contains science, you know, I'm trying to put science fiction and fantasy on the
mm-hmm.
cover and in the title. So the mythic is supposed to suggest fantasy and all the other type of, I guess you could say, soft
mm-hmm.
speculative fiction. And then orbits is the hard science fiction. And that's all I'm trying to suggest with that. So that is tough being eclectic, but I think there's people just have to give it a chance and they'll find out what a great collection it is.
I know they'll get a great collection of stories. I remember when we were there for your launch party, we launched it, and I remember just being so excited about the series. I really was excited, still am excited about this book because I know that we have some great fiction here by some great powerhouses who write speculative fiction, some newcomers to the arena. So I want to tell our listeners out there, make sure you go ahead and get your copy of Mythic Orbits Volume 2 today, available from Bear Publications. You can buy your Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And I always tell you, always, make sure you leave a review. Reviews help authors breathe at night. It lets Travis know that, hey, I want more of what Bear Publications has to offer. It lets Travis know, hey, these collection of stories are great stories. You obviously know what you're doing when you say you look for good fiction. Obviously, your instincts are correct, Travis, because Parker said so. And thus, guess what? He has been validated by yours truly.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Parker. Thank you for that validation. No, I think when I get reviews that are good, you know, I mean, I'm not – I you know, the lowest review I think that I gathered for Mythic Orbits 2016, and it got more reviews than Volume 2. I think it was four stars. And maybe it's just not enough people have read it. Maybe I'd get some more negative impact. I think somebody on Goodreads gave it a 3 or something like that. So, but mm-hmm. That's, you know, I mean, the consensus is that these are good. Good stuff. Hey, do you got a minute for me to talk about the covers for just a second?
For sure.
Okay. Well, the thing with the astronaut, what I came up with this, you know, for the first one, I actually first had a castle in space, and then I changed it to a castle in the reflection of an astronaut, and then on the back is a robot, a space robot, and the original Mythic Orbis 2016. And in the front, you see the astronaut, it's supposed to be the same astronaut, but now his background has changed, and he sees a reflection of a dragon. And my idea is that this astronaut has shifted into another universe. So I'm going to continue. It's going to be kind of like a story on the covers that, you know, God willing, I'll get a chance to continue with future Mythic Orbits volumes, and in which the dragon, the astronaut, will go on the dragon to the castle, and things will happen through different volumes. So the story, the covers will have a continuity. At least that's the plan as of now. And anyway, I thought you might find that interesting, the idea behind that.
I think it's a wonderful idea, because as you produce the stories, you're also telling a story through pictures, because this astronaut has found himself wandering in mythic orbits. And that's why it's called Mythic Orbits. And so as he continues to travel, why don't you travel with him? Go ahead and pick up your copy of both of these volumes, Mythic Orbits 2016 and Mythic Orbits Volume 2, available from Bear Publications. Now, Travis, I want people to have an opportunity to get to follow you online. So go ahead and tell us your social media outlets.
Well, I'm on Facebook. I should have my own website, but I actually don't. Bear Publications is a great way to get a hold of me. I do have a blog, Travis's Big Idea, is what I call it. Bad on me. I haven't done a recent post, but I need to. And then I've been mostly active in speculative faith, speculativefaith.lorehaven.com. And that's where you're going to find the writings I've done on what aliens teach us about God, and the series on speculative fiction writer's guide to warfare is there also. And there's some other things that I've written that are on speculative faith. In fact, I'm thankful to Speculative Faith for giving me a regular Thursday slot on the site. It's been very helpful to me. So if Stephen Burnett or anybody else is listening, thank you for your help. But that's probably the best way to reach me. There is a Bear Publications on Twitter as well. I'm TT_Perry on Twitter, but I don't tweet very much. I need to fix my social media thing. I do. But there's some things that about social media that, anyway, I digress.
That's the thing about social media. It's such a monster. That's why I keep it to Facebook. I keep it to Twitter. Everyone's been telling me, Parker, get on Instagram. I probably will sometime next year. But it's the fact that it's such a massive monster that you get a couple of channels and you just work those channels. You can't work every channel a social media outlet, especially like Snapchat. The only benefit I see of Snapchat is these little cute filters that make you look like little puppies or kittens. That's the only thing I can think of with Snapchat. I don't get it.
I don't get it either, but I need to get it. So I mean, yeah. I'm a funny person. Like, my brain is in the future, and always has been, even from the time I was a kid reading science fiction, the distant future. But I kind of lived in the past in a way. I mean, I wrote a horse to school, literally, as a kid, and lived, mm-hmm. You know, so lived in a log cabin, no kidding. And so I don't know. I mean, sometimes I feel like modern technology is not quite for me, or I wish I lived in a different future. You know, a future where we were traveling to different planets instead of having Snapchat and Twitter. I wish I was instead getting a rocket to Mars. You know, I wish that I lived that future. But anyway, I digress.
Well, you know, Elon Musk says that we'll be there in 2024. And like I told, you know, you're in the Iron Sharpening Iron group. I told our people there, they were talking about, oh, Elon Musk said we can go there in 2024. I said, y'all have fun dying because I'm not going to be on the maiden voyage to Mars. I'm not going to be on the maiden. I'm not going to be on her sister. Nothing, you know.
You know, like after they perfected about 12 trips later, then you're maybe interested. Okay, gotcha.
Maybe, because then, you know, I don't want to hit in it. Not that I'm superstitious, but I'm not getting on the 13th voyage either.
Back in the 13th, 12, maybe, or 14, no 13, gotcha. Yeah, okay, I'm working.
Just saying, you know, mind, I'm not superstitious, but I don't want to risk it either.
Yeah, right.
I'll keep my feet firmly planted on the ground. And Travis, once again, thank you so much for being with us on the show. I want you to give some encouragement to our author friends out there whom God has given the gift to write, to pick up a pen and do so.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, I started this relatively late in life. I mean, I was in my 40s before I ever really got serious about writing, and I'm 50 now, so I'm so old, you know. Anyway, there's a lot of young people like Tura Lamb that are, you know, just, you know, in the 18 to 25 range, they're just starting. Hey, the thing that you might feel overwhelmed about is that there's so many stories out there. There's so much, it's so hard to get attention, but just keep trying. There's something to the consistent trying that eventually, you know, bit by bit, pays off if you're, you know, doing what you should do. And I'm talking about, you know, a lot of people fantasize about being discovered by the big publisher, and that may happen for some people, but what I'm really just talking about is, you know, even as an indie author and indie publisher, the more you do, the more attention you get, and you build over time. And that's kind of a normal way for things to work. It takes time, takes effort, and don't give up. Just keep writing.
Travis, once again, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us on the show today, and cannot wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
Oh, thanks, Parker. I really appreciate it.
And we were talking today to Travis Perry. He is the owner of Bear Publications as well as the co-leader of various anthologies, including Medieval Mars, Victorian Venus, Mythic Orbits 2016, and Mythic Orbits Volume 2, which is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. One thing about Mythic Orbits is that you're going to get a great collection of stories from some authors you may already be familiar with. Why don't you go ahead and pick up your copy today? Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen of Tuesday Nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at ParkerJCole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.